Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor and thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Amen.
In that song, it says it's the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
A year of Jubilee is it's something that God initiated when... So God said, we're going to have a year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, all debts will be wiped out.
Praise the Lord. Well, one thing's for sure, we know our debts have been forgiven. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, you can do better than that. That's exciting to me. Hallelujah. Like the song says, we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And He paid a debt He didn't owe for you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. Now that's just about enough to get you just downright excited. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. We thank You and praise You for this time together. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence. We rely on You, Holy Spirit. We say, take control. We yield to You. We yield to the will of the Father right now in Jesus' name. This is Your day and Your time. We are Your people, Lord. We want to hear from You, Lord. We want You to be in control. And Your purpose, Your plan, and Your will be affected in this house on each and every person who's here. We love You, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for this opportunity to fellowship with the family of God, with the body of Christ. And we just give You praise and honor and glory forever. And we thank You in advance for completing and doing what You want to do, giving us correction so that we have a direction, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I was reminded the fact that God says that He supplies all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I was also reminded that He says He gives us the desires of our heart. Amen? Those children, the desires they had were godly desires. I mean, maybe cookies are not what you consider godly desires, but they weren't bad. God, proving His love, which He does for all of us all the time, moved in behalf of those, and their prayers were answered to draw them into the kingdom. When God says He'll supply all of our need according to His riches, that means everything. Everything. And of course, as we get saved, then we grow, our values and things change. But God loves us. Amen? He says He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Child cries out and says, something simple, something we would take for granted, chocolate chip cookies. And God answers that prayer because God loves them and He wants to reveal Himself to them. Another one says, I need parents. Now, I don't know how many of you know this or who have ever seen any programs about the orphanages and things in Russia, but it's not nice. These kids are absolutely forsaken. They are in institutions that are nasty. The children are not cared for well. And it's more like a torture chamber in a prison than an orphanage that you and I would consider an orphanage. If you've noticed, in this country, we don't even have those places anymore that I'm aware of. That ought to tell you something. Is there? Okay. But they're run a lot different than they were in the early days even of this country. God's love is moving and reaching out all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to rejoice. We need to be a part of this. You know, it could be something just very simply God lays on your heart that could touch a child, win them to the Lord, and maybe even the people around them. You never know. So I encourage you, be obedient. Don't get lost in the season and lost in everything that's going on around you and, you know, your own selfish little world, but listen to the voice of God and let Him speak to you and show you what you need to do and watch God perpetrate a blessing for somebody else and in so doing bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. I want to ask this morning, I want you to consider this. I don't necessarily want answers or people to say anything unless you want to give God some praise. But I want to ask the question of one of our songs that we sing from time to time. Consider and think about, and I'm interested to know, and I want you to tell me what God's up to in your life. What's He up to in your life? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name. We give honor to your word, Lord, which is giving honor to you. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. I studied and studied. I've got notes that you, several pages, more than several pages, a lot of pages and notes, and I just did not have the mind of God. It was all good stuff. It was exciting, but it just, like, I felt it wasn't the time. I just didn't have peace about what I was studying. I mean, it was good stuff, and I know it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but I just felt that God was saying, this is not the time. Like, there's more coming, or there's just some more He needs to do in me. I don't know what the reason was. But anyway, since God's faithful, I was looking I had some thoughts, and I was looking up some scriptures. And so I just want you to read with me, if you will, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, starting in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Now, that's an admonition from the Lord spoken here in Philippians, and it's twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what it looks like, no matter what attack is coming your way, what blessings. I mean, it's easy to bless the Lord and to rejoice when the blessings are coming and when the promises of God are in operation in your life. But the thing is, sometimes when we get sidetracked by situations or circumstances or things right in front of us, we forget that He is still in control and that we need to rejoice. Amen? It says, giving thanks always. Amen? We have to give thanks always in all things. Hallelujah. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." We're living in a day and a time where more than ever, our actions, how we conduct ourselves, how we carry ourselves, are going to be seen by people. And they're going to make decisions about the Lord based on our conversation, or not our conversation, but our lifestyle. And one of the things we're told is to, like in verse 4 here, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice. You know, if we could just learn to get that down and just give God glory in everything, thank Him, give thanks in everything. The circumstances we go through and the things that happen, the little hiccups or speed bumps that we run into, would go a lot smoother. Amen? I know we've talked about this. We've heard testimonies about this from many of you. But it's the truth. In this day and time, it seems like there's so many speed bumps. It seems like we can't turn to the right or to the left without something being right there to cause a hiccup in our walk. Or we just feel and see the enemy. We sense the enemy just, again, trying to steal the word and trying to get us. I don't know why the word comes to me fractioned. What do I mean by that? I mean that we have our minds and our hearts set on God and the things of God, but some little thing comes along and all of a sudden we get fractioned. We get pulled off of that for a few moments and get carried away in that area. And God has given us the authority and the power to put that to a stop. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And then the next verse, he tells us, he gives us a command. Be anxious for nothing. What's causing you anxiety today? What's causing you trouble? What's the enemy trying to do that's trying to pull your faith and your thoughts and your face away from God? "But in everything, by prayer and supplications." Supplications are just prayers also. It's like a double whammy there. "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, I refer again to those little kids in those orphanages that had desires. And their salvation was at stake. And something so simple as chocolate chip cookies caused one to be won into the kingdom. I'm reminded again of the testimony of Bob Romero. How God brought him in, softened a heart that was absolutely just, I mean, it was like stone. I'm not going there. I'm not getting involved with that. And yet God softened his heart through something that you and I would probably consider in our religiosity something so off the wall that, huh, you can't believe, you can't say that, you can't do that. And yet God used it. We need to be aware that God can use and does use the things that He wants to win people and to keep us on the right track. Amen? To show Himself strong in our behalf. Prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then he says, when you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses, goes far beyond all your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 8 he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Start with the first part of that. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. What things are true? What is the only truth? That's right. Amen. He is the answer to all, for all, and in all. In every circumstance. And we need to remember that and need to always keep that at the forefront of our minds. And then whatever things are noble. You know, there's a lot of times we look at people and we think they're either noble or not. And nobility and all those kind of attributes and virtues come only from the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say that in us dwells no good thing? That is in our flesh. So we need to be aware always that even the things that are noble, we need to give thanks and praise for that. Whatever things are just. Well, you know, there is nothing just except for Jesus. You look at everything going on around you, and we all know. I mean, we see it more and more every day. There's more things going on. I don't know about you guys, but I'm telling you, I get more excited every day when I hear this stuff come. Instead of getting, I mean, for a moment, I get caught just, and I get angry for a minute and think, man, Lord Jesus, you're coming soon. But then I start to get happy because it builds my faith. It lets me know that Jesus is about to come back again. Now, we don't know the day or time, but I got to tell you, I every day with everything I hear, I just sense that it's got to be closer than ever before. You know, I expected when our government, our president turned on Israel, that was going to be the final straw that broke the camel's back. I'm telling you, I was ready to go. I thought, Lord, we're coming home. Hallelujah. But it didn't shake me. Amen. I just know that those things, as they come to pass, are things God said would happen, and that it just means we're that much closer. Amen. And you all should be getting happy about that. Hallelujah. Whatever things are pure, other than in God, there's nothing that's pure. God is pure. He doesn't just have pureness, He is pure. Pure meaning unblemished, untainted. Nothing negative, nothing poisoned about Him. Amen? Nothing negative, I guess, is the best way I can say it. In Him. It's pure. Things that are lovely. Lovely. You know, we wouldn't know love if it wasn't for God. We wouldn't have a clue about love. We wouldn't know how to love one another. We wouldn't know how to love our spouses, our children. We wouldn't know how to love the people out there that are unlovely. So whatever things are lovely, he tells us. Whatever things are of a good report. You know, good reports, there's a lot of things that happen out there in the midst of all this calamity and this nonsense and this corruption and this filth and degradation that's out there that are good things. But those things can only happen by God. And you know what? Bless their hearts, no matter how good you think a person is, if they don't know Jesus, they're not good enough and they don't have the ability to be good in the way God talks about good in this Scripture. And the reports are not good Like I say, you may hear good things. People who have a heart that has a conscience, and so they do the right things because of their conscience. But there's more people who violate their conscience every day than people who operate in a good conscience and follow their conscience, which shows them it's God-given. It's in every one of us. It's part of our soul nature. The right and the wrong. Amen? If there's any virtue, again, I say my belief, my feeling is virtue only comes from the Lord. Virtue or virtuous means somebody who is fixed on the right path, the right thoughts, the right motivations, and they do what they're motivated to do in God with a right heart, with a right mind. If there's anything praiseworthy, well, I don't know about you guys, but I can't think of anything praiseworthy except the Lord and the things that He does. In which case, we give Him praise for Him for what He's done, not for the things that He's done. Amen? We give praise to Him. He's praiseworthy. And these are the things we need to meditate on. We need to ruminate on, consider every moment of every day in our walk, in our life with Jesus. Amen? The verse 9, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Where's our focus today? You know, I would give a caution. Not a rebuke or an admonishment, but a caution. Be very careful that you filter through the Word and through the Holy Spirit what you give heed to and what you pay attention to in this day and age. We know the enemy's about his business. I hear all the time from many sources, well, how can... The other night, we were at the board meeting. When I came out, I happened to catch Joel Osteen talking to a gentleman by the name of Pierce Morgan. Pierce Morgan is a British gentleman. He is in the Hollywood scene. Joel Osteen was asked a question by Pierce. And this is somebody who I believe not only had the question, and he may have been a little accusatory in what he asked. But what he asked was, how can a God, people would ask, he said people would ask, he didn't include himself, but I know he was included in it. How a merciful God can allow the atrocities and the things that happen in this world, and how innocent lives can be taken. And while I highly respect Joel Osteen, I have to tell you that I felt that his answer fell far short. I'm not being critical of Joel Osteen. I respect the man, like I said, and he's called of God. I don't have a right to say anything against him. But I was perplexed, and I was a little dissatisfied with his answer. He went back and made some true statements. He said, we live in a fallen nature. Men are fallen from grace. Well, that's truth. But the truth is, if we understand God and God's purpose and will, and understand the power of God, then we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. He sees what we don't see. We know that. The Scripture tells us that. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are past finding out. And there's still some mystery left in this, like the Scripture talks about. But the point is, God has... He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. And He is the Alpha and the Omega. And many times we don't see. In fact, we don't see what is going on. Yes, we hurt. We don't want to see these things happen, but we know that God's in control. And so our purpose, and had I been there, that's what I would have told Pierce. I said, God's the one who's in charge, not me, not you. And it's not wrong to ask questions, but sometimes when we ask the questions, we don't really want to hear the answer. And we want to accept the answer for what it is, truth. You and I are not smart enough. And bless his heart, Joel said that. He said, there's a lot of things about faith I don't understand. Okay, I can go with that. How many can raise their hand and say that's true of me too? But praise the Lord, we're going on and we're learning. That doesn't stop us. It doesn't keep us from moving on in the Lord. Amen? So we need to remember that God is in control. And that our mind needs to be stayed on the things we read in verse 8. We're to think on those things. Meditate on those things. Keep those in our forefront. The things which you and I have learned and received and heard and saw. We've not only heard and learned, but we've received and we've seen with our own eyes or experienced in our own lives those things. And God tells us in this Scripture in verse 9, says to do these things. And He says, then I, the God of peace will be with you. Peace in the midst of any storm. Peace in the midst of any calamity. Peace in the midst of any situation. Amen? And we need to remember also that, you know, it's hard sometimes when you're in the middle of something that's going on, to really keep your focus. But that's when you have to just relax, trust in God, or submit to Him, and just know that He's going to bring it out okay. Why? Just like Peter, we have a word. We have a word. The word that Peter had and the disciples had when they launched out to go to the other side, and Jesus stayed behind for a little bit and came walking on the water, was, "We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side of the lake." But because of the circumstances, their eyes were taken away. Their eyes were on the calamity and things. And then when they saw the Lord coming, instead of recognizing for who He was, they got afraid. All of a sudden, because of the storm, their thinking was off and was skewed, and they started to think it's a ghost. And Peter said, "No." He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." He at least cried out and said, "Lord, if it's you." And he stepped out. And there was no calamity in that. He was put back in the boat. They went to the other side. Or when Jesus was asleep in the boat, like we sang the song, "The Boat of God," this morning. It doesn't make any difference what the waves do or how much the boat's filled with water, how the mast creaks or, you know, the boat's tossed around. If Jesus is at peace, and He is peace, and He's in us, then we should be at peace. Amen? In every circumstance, in every situation. Amen? And that's what's important, is that we let the peace that passes all understanding. I believe the Scripture says, "Dwell in you richly." Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. And that means deliverance from calamity, deliverance from destruction, deliverance from, well, you name it. You just decide in your life what it is that you're facing. God, you know, Harry said, and this is true, and this, I mean, I've meditated this a lot myself, it's not God's will for any to perish. And that doesn't mean in just salvation. That means that even in times when we may know something might not be exactly what God wants us to do, but we do it anyway, that God's forgiveness and God's peace can come in that situation. And that's because He loves us. He said, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life." And then there's other things that we do inadvertently, or that we get into, that we do it inadvertently. We didn't set out to do it. We just kind of happened into it. Good example is what happened with Karen and Bob, which God has turned that whole thing to good. But what would have happened if you hadn't stayed steadfast, Karen? What would have happened? The good wouldn't have turned out the way it did. Amen? Now it's easy to say, "Oh, it all works out in the end." No. Only if you know God doesn't work out in the end. And it certainly won't work out for your good if it does work out in the end if you don't know God. Amen? Remember Jeremiah 29:11 also. I'm more than ever, I'm convinced that that scripture is the scripture that all the rest of the scriptures are hinged on. If we can just get a hold of that and understand that everything else in the Word is hinged on that particular verse in the Word. His thoughts for good and not for evil. Prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. There's no hope and future in worrying about something that you think you might have done or that you have done in the past. Remember, the past is the past. It's the past. God doesn't keep it. The only thing that's required of you and I is to say, "God, I messed up. I did wrong." And tell Him, "Lord, I repent. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I acknowledge what I did." And then go on. Remember that the spiritual things affect the natural things, or the worldly things, or the things in the natural affect the spiritual. Your reaction, my reaction, our thoughts is what's going to affect our tomorrows and our outcome in everything we do, either negative or positive. So we need to keep our focus on the Lord, keep our focus on Him, and trust Him. One of the things that I did some great study on was trust and confidence this past week. And man, I'm telling you, there is an enormous amount involved with that. Trust and confidence. And it's amazing what the dictionary and the word has to say about those things. Trusting meaning there's no other outcome when you trust. You can't trust, you and I can't trust if we don't have absolutely the knowledge and we don't operate in the faith that the person who is speaking to us, who has made promises to us, is going to follow through. And that's the case all the way down into our physical relationships. Trust. Trust that a person or God will follow through with what He says, and He will do what He says He will do. And we know that by the Word. That's what He says. So our Word has to be, our trust has to be in Him, in His Word. And our confidence, our steadfastness has to be in the fact that He will not fail and He will not cause the righteous to be forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. He'll not cause our foot to stumble. Amen? Now we may get a little twinge or a little touch of what we sowed, but the outcome is what? We're more than conquerors. Amen? We are more than conquerors. We're the head only and not the tail. Did you get a hold of that? Can you grasp that? We're the head only and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Don't let circumstances drag you down and put you underneath them. Stay above them. Keep your confidence and trust in God. And remember that you're above only in God. He's already paid the price for it all. You can't surprise Him. He's not surprised by the things you do. Remember, He is the beginning and the end. He knows it all. So very quickly, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Here's what I did. And if you feel it's wrong, then just say, Lord, I felt what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. And go on. Amen? How hard is that? Now, in our mind, it's very hard because we judge ourselves very harshly. Amen? Or am I the only one? Oh, you all didn't say anything, and I know better than that. Praise the Lord. Bless your little pea-picking hearts, as Tennessee Ernie Ford would say. Anyway, getting back to our focus is making sure that in everything we do, no matter where we go or what happens, what comes our way, that God has good and not evil in mind for us, and He's perpetrating that. And it's not because you and I deserve it. You know, I remember having a note, it's probably in my notebook where I write notes here in church, and when I hear things, I write notes down, so God inspires me for messages. But one of the things I said is, I better read it because I'm not going to quote it right. One of the things he said was, this was based on something that Bob said Wednesday night, when you launch out, never launch out without a life jacket. What does that mean? That means you got to be clothed in the whole armor of God. That's your life jacket. Amen? That's the life jacket. I mean, don't launch out without having the Word of God, the confirmation from God about what you're about to do. That's your life jacket. If you do, you'll fall far short. And that means knowing the time, what it costs, and of course the timing is the most important. And knowing that it was really from the Lord. And He'll reveal that to you. He won't keep you in the dark. And the other thing is, a lot of times in forgiveness, one of the things that holds us back, and this is to me simple and yet very profound, is we don't feel we deserve forgiveness. Well, you're right. We don't. We didn't do anything to deserve it. But God, because He loves us, sent Jesus anyway to redeem us, to set us free, and to keep us out of calamity and harm. If we can get a hold of that and keep that focus, we're going to do very well in our walk. But you got to meditate on that. That's one of those things that we talk about in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, of good report, and virtuous, or they're praiseworthy, we're supposed to meditate on those things. Amen? That means we can't sit around fussing about things that we have no more control over anymore. What's done is done. Now God's given you the ability to put it aside, get it buried in the deepest sea. What's your choice? There's your life jacket right there. What's your choice? What does God's Word say? If you confess and forsake your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a little exhortation this morning. I would say nothing earth-shattering, but yet it is earth-shattering. It's world-shattering. Makes the world come apart, and God's image, God's presence become more vivid and more real. Amen? Pulls the clouds aside, lets you see clearly, and with the glory and the beauty that's in Him, only in Him, come through. And we're able to get rid of these dark, dirty little things that those weights, as the Scripture says, that so easily beset us. And I remind you again, in the words of the Lord, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the enemy's plan, is to tie you down, to tear you down, to steal the word from you. Go back and look at the parable of the sower. So the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of things, and those things, that's what chokes the word and steals the word from us. Our actions, our words, and our thoughts betray. And when I say betray, I don't mean that just on the negative side, but betray really where your faith is and where your thoughts are. If your thoughts are you're not worthy, well, you're right about that. But it's not because you're worthy, it's because God created you to be His, in fellowship with Him, and to be His child. And that's what He wants. Unfortunately, people choose the other way way too often. Even Christians, they get caught up in something. It's like they get stuck in a rut. It's like they got their feet encased in cement, and they get stuck right there. And God's there. He is freedom. He has brought freedom. He has set you free. What does the Bible say? Whom the Lord has set free is what? Free indeed. I can't believe anything else. I can't entertain anything else. If I do, I'm not pleasing God. And not only that, I'm just going to be bold enough to say, you got way too much emphasis on yourself. The word for today is confess and forsake. Confess and forsake. Confess and forsake. Amen? He says, in all your ways, if you acknowledge Him, He'll direct your path. You'll eat the good of the land. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In all your ways. I want to say this too. You cannot say that you're a child of God and that God is your Father and that Jesus is your Savior if you have any other thought. And what I'm saying here is not taking away hope from people, but I would just very honestly say, if you've got thoughts or you're facing something that you feel like, you know, you're in trouble and there's no hope because you've messed up, then that's contrary to the Word of God. And I would say, remember salvation is in every day that you need to get saved. Remember, salvation is being saved from something to something and being safe. If you don't feel safe, then go back to the Lord. Ask Him for forgiveness. Renew your vow to Him. Renew your commitment to Him. And watch what happens. Believe Him. Don't believe the negative. Don't believe the bad report. Don't believe, so you did it. Now what? Now what? Or maybe you didn't do it. Maybe it was a mistake. But confess it to the Lord. You know, the key that made David a man after God's heart once again was the fact that he was quick to repent. Sometimes he'd go so far as to repent in sackcloth and ashes. throwing dust. He genuinely hated what he had done and the fact that he felt the way he did. And it's not just what you do, it's the thoughts that come afterwards. Those are things that separate us from the love of God, that take us out of the place of peace. Amen? You can't do anything that God takes God for surprise by surprise. You haven't done anything that has ever taken God by surprise. He knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He loves us. And everything He does for us because He loves us. And that goes back to the fact that when He says, I don't want any to perish, that means His love goes out even to them. But they make their choice. What is your choice today? To think on the right things, as the Scripture says in Philippians 4, verse 8? Or to keep focused on the stuff that's tearing you down, that's causing you grief, causing your peace to be gone, causing you to feel worthless, causing you to feel dirty? You can't have those feelings and be in the presence of God. You may love God, but you're displeasing Him by staying in that place. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He says He loves us with an everlasting love. And then He goes on in the Scripture and says, there's one part where when someone talks about, I will not fear what man can do with me. But I'll fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. You want to know who you need to please? What's the answer? God. Amen. That's who you need to please. See, if God's got everything in His control, and if He is the beginning and the end, then that means the only way things happen to us is by our refusal to walk in faith, to walk in the Word, and to trust and believe in Him, which is sin. It's rebellion against God. It's saying, I'm a special case. God, You're not big enough to help me. I don't know why I'm saying this again. It's just so real in me. The enemy wants to see you beat down. He wants to see you destroyed. I'm reminded of the Scripture that talks about when a thief comes in, what are you going to do? Are you going to just stand there and let the thief take what he wants? Or are you going to withstand him? Having done all to stand, are you going to stand? We're not perfect. So stop trying to be in your own strength, in your own motivation. If you did something wrong, if you made a mistake, I'm reminded again what Isaiah 53:5 says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. When it says He was wounded for our transgressions, that's the sin or the mistakes, not mistakes, but the willful things we did, and yet He says, I've already covered it. Those stripes paid the price for that. He was bruised for our iniquities, and that's the mistakes. That's the mistakes we make. And then it also goes on and it says, and this covers everything as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the whole Scripture does, but this covers it, the absolute, if you will, the punctuation or the period at the end. And that is that the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He's paid for your peace. That's exactly right. Exactly right, Gene. So I would ask this today. Search your heart and tell me where you have a right to keep things that are contrary to the Word of God and trust those more than you trust God. Trust that you're going to pay a price for something that you did when Jesus said, I've taken it all. That person, according to the Word of God, that's saved, does not have anything in their past. They are new. Like Paul said when he was confronted, I have harmed no man. I've done nothing wrong. That's because he had the revelation that only comes from God, that he was new in Jesus. He was new in Christ. He was a child of God. He was a servant of God. And it doesn't make any difference what he did in the past. Okay? God can cover those things because he knows your heart. He knows your and my heart. Isn't that right? Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. And there's not a person in this room, whether just recently I've known you or I've known you for a long time, not one person in this room that I know is not saved. You may have forgotten for a few minutes, or you may have gotten caught up in something that's detract or distracting you from the truth. But the truth is, I happen to know, and God has revealed by your actions in the past where your heart is. Don't let the enemy steal from you any longer. Don't let the enemy and his lies beat you down any longer. Let God be true and every man a liar. That means your thoughts. But I've done what I've done. You don't understand. I've done, we've done. You know, there's circumstances. You don't understand. We're in trouble. We're going to get nailed. No. That was all the things that you were going to get nailed for were nailed on the cross. Amen? They were nailed on the cross. They were taken and done away with by the beating that Christ received by that cat of nine tails when his flesh was laid barren and open and exposed, and by the groaning and the suffering that he had, that he did right there when he was beat. It's done. It's done. Past, present, and future. I would admonish you. I would exhort you. I would challenge you. Write that down on a card and post it everywhere you can in front of you, in your bathroom, on your bedroom mirror, in the kitchen, on the stove, on the refrigerator, above the sink. Past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. We don't set out to do wrong. How many of you here? And can I tell you something? If you don't know specifically that you've done something wrong, and the enemy's trying to beat you up with it and trying to destroy you with it, and that's what he's trying to do, destroy you and those around you, then you need to hold your head high and remember that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And you know what the key is? If you don't know what it is you've done, but you feel like you've done something, it's only a prayer away. Father, forgive me. I'm not sure why I feel the way I feel. I'm not sure why I think the way I think. But Lord, I know it's not you. It's not bringing peace. It's not bringing happiness. It's not bringing joy to me. I can't rejoice in you. Lord, I lay it down. I cast my care on you because you care for me. I don't care what anybody else's reaction is. Do you hear me? I don't care. I don't care what your reaction to me is. Well, I do, but you know what I'm saying. But the point is, I care more about what God thinks than what I think and what somebody else thinks. They pointed a finger at Paul. I'm sure from the very time that he got saved till the day he passed into eternity to be with the Lord, that he was a bad guy. He killed Christians. And yet Paul was set free. He was walking in freedom. They were once walking in the bondage. Because he said, I don't know who that person you're talking about. I'm not that person. Is it that real to us? Is it that real to us? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own thinking or your own understanding. In everything, in all your ways, in everything in your life, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And remember, He has good thoughts and plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you want prayer, I'm reminded of what it says in Ephesians 1. I can't remember the exact places. I've got another scripture confused, but it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Maybe that's Romans chapter 1. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are you ashamed of the gospel this morning? What do I mean by that? Does that mean that, you know, you're ashamed of God and that you don't really want to be identified with Him? No, that's not it at all. But shame for the gospel can come in the idea that the enemy comes and tells you, you've committed something wrong. You've done something wrong. But then the Holy Spirit comes and says, but you're a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Whether it was a second ago or 10 years ago. A minute ago or 5 hours ago. Salvation is new every day. Amen? It's new. Remember the scripture that talks about the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Washing yourself with the water of the Word. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Man, that's what we're supposed to be meditating on. Not worrying about something that we can't even explain. Not worrying about why we feel the way we feel, that something bad's going to happen. That's the enemy coming to steal the word. He doesn't want you free. And that's when you need to stand up and say, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So that means not anything at all. I don't know anything at all except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that means the price is paid. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, right now I lift up these Your saints, Lord. And I see them the way You see them. Forgiven, set free. Holy, redeemed, prosperous, in health. And I thank You, Lord, and I rejoice that no matter what the enemy devises as a plan or attack or a device or a weapon to be used against any of these people, Lord, it shall not stand and it will not prosper. And that these people, because of faith and because of Your word and You who are truth, they stand in the face of those things that condemn them, of the tongues of judgment that rise up against them. They stand in faith and say, You're wrong. And they condemn the judgment, not the person or the vehicle that it comes from, but the judgment as being false, as being against Your word. I thank You right now, Lord, that these people, Your children, Lord, my brothers and sisters, my family, are free. Free. Healed. Delivered. Prosperous. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank You that Your word has come forth, Lord. And I pray that Your word alone, right now, according to Your word, is sealed in every heart by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we're going to walk out of here different than when we came in. I thank You, Lord. I'll believe and know the report. I'll consider nothing else. I'll see nothing else except Your forgiveness and Your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. praise the Lord.